calm down, calm down. I was just getting that. While all Taldans have the legal right to move freely, in reality, moving to a new domain is often too expensive to be feasible, and some nobles even hold their tenants hostage despite the law. While Tal'Dorei holds tight to its traditions, enough senators, nobles, and regular citizens have grown sick of the status quo to form the beginning of a reform movement. They call themselves the Loyalists and declare their allegiance to the history, great deeds, and people of Tal'Dorei, rather than any individual, even the Emperor. While she is not a Loyalist, Princess Eutropia also works to reform many of Tal'Dorei's ancient customs and broken systems, with a particular focus towards poverty, gender inequality, and many within the Loyalist movement support her efforts to repeal primogeniture and allow any person to inherit family lands and titles.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Dice Before Dishonor. What are you looking at? Well, if you're listening to the podcast, thank you and welcome back. If you are watching our live stream here at www.twitch.tv/GMSCut, GMSCut, GM's Cut. Frank's just shaking his head at me. Yeah, I'm just
spelling.
Just blah, 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 out of the gate.
SMRT smart.
Yep. This is an overlay that we have purchased for Rob's up-and-coming game, but we got to test it out. And here we are. So as you can see, we have Fantasy Grounds up and running. And Fantasy Grounds actually is sponsoring our Age of Ashes show. But I had already purchased Crownfall for the War for the Crown series for Fantasy Grounds. One of the things that got us interested. And today with me, we have Mr. Aiden Willems.
Hello.
Playing the roguish elf Fafal. We have Mr. Matt Witt is in the house.
Hola.
Playing Sir Winston, the portly halfling cavalier riding around in a wolf. Order of the Paw. Takes orders from no one. And starring Mr. Frank Hamilton, playing Lord Gildevarth.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us once again.
Once again. So, why the live stream? Well, Age of Ashes came out. Second edition Pathfinder just came out. And we're very excited to be streaming that for the Dark Galaxies gaming channel every Friday night, 8 to 10-ish. And we're recording it and putting it up on our YouTube and pulling the audio and putting up the podcast, getting it out there. But there's still a certain charm to be had for several Cavaliers in first edition. And here we are filming yet another episode. So when last we left our heroes, we had a light supper. And the cleric Juan Zubari was tasting some putrefied wine. Mission success, Winston and Leon. And he managed to he Abdebar'd hocus pocus it a little bit from his deity and made it palatable. Finally, back in the clutches of one Julia, Order of the Star, and they are roaming about the center enjoying the supper. Now, we had gone to a certain point, but I need to go back just a little bit in time. Because in the last episode, we were following Sir Winston around, and he had come upon Lord Varth, played by Frank Hamilton, currently in diplomatizing and negotiating with Countess Arabella Pace. So I'd like to go back two episodes, as it were, to that moment in time and covering what was going on in that conversation. And I believe she had her little snap fan, gaudily dressed, and was like, ah, you know, the type of thing, and talking about the latest fashions and this and that, and was, you know, you were... I don't say you were doing badly, but you had managed to spend some influence on her, and something had come to a bit of a standstill, and you'd pull out your big diplomacy, and had managed to influence her on the part, and I believe she was like, yes, sir, make us the ring, you know, that kind of thing going on. Mm-hmm. But the mission that Lady Lothied had given you was, you know, find out where she stands in the up-and-coming primogeniture vote. Can a female heir inherit the throne of Tal'Dorei here in the War for the Crown adventure path played by first edition Pathfinder. I wonder if this would make a good second edition game. Well, we'll see. Lord Varth, you are in the gallery, and as you can see here on our map. We've been playing around with Fantasy Grounds. I got like a lovely little sort of zoom in of the dice roll, as well as showing the dice rolls. And I'm just going to zoom in to, it's the kitchen area on the south, just off of it, No Man's Land. They don't have the map for the sort of gallery, which is up above. So you go up the stairs, there's like this big balcony that goes around with deep recesses and private rooms and stuff. And up there, Leon and Sir Winston were hobnobbing with kids and halfling entertainers, and Lothied herself is set up there. And across the room, unnoticed until now, after a couple of circumventing missions, Lord Voth had spotted Countess Abrail Pace and was in the middle of chatting her up. And we go there now. What do you want to do, Lord Varth?
So I think, you know, everybody at this little shindig has things that they like and don't like and stuff like that. And we were kind of suggested that we have certain, I don't know, social attack routes that you can take. So I'd like to just, you know, again, casually enter into conversations with her or keep the conversation going just to see where she lies on certain issues, see if there's any hot buttons that I can try to manipulate just to kind of better understand her.
Okay.
So I think I'd like to make either a sense motive or another diplomacy check just to see kind of where her loyalties lie.
In this case, I would actually even suggest sense motive or bluff because you are trying to, like, these views may not be your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, see if you can catch her in a lie kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? As opposed, like, sensing motive works, obviously, but diplomatizing is sort of like either getting information, which I know you're trying to get, but, or, you know, trying to sell somebody in a point. But you see what I'm saying? Like, you could possibly, it's come to my attention that bluff can be used in a new way where you could sort of go on about a bunch of bullshit stuff on a topic and see what's going on, you know, see how they react.
Okay. So I'll use sense motive then.
Okay. What you got?
And 27.
27. She really likes the spotlight and being commanding. Like, there's the little entourage of sycophants and, you know, people that are ingratiating herself. She is a countess. She does pull weight. Hence, Lothied's interest in this woman, as opposed to 222 other senators. Barons, countesses, you know, when they vote or when they schmooze your room and people go, what do you think about this? Someone powerful, influential goes, they might hold their tongue and might go, well, I think about this. And it can, you know, the ripple of influence can go outward from these people. However, this is the cutthroat intrigue cat and mouse game of, well, no, you show me yours first. No, you show me yours first. Seems, and this is where your sense motive role comes into play, she seems reserved to sort of just outward make grand statements about, you know, her feelings on this fashion or this topic. However, you do notice that as soon as someone states the obvious, like, this is all the rave right now, you get a lot of course, and my waiters all dressed like that. Why wouldn't they? I've been wearing, you know, open-toed sandals before, you know, Jesus made them fashionable. You know, that kind of, like, you know, of course I'm in this trend, or of course I'm, you know, I'm the one
hipster.
Yeah. Of course, type of thing.
So she's always trying to ride the wave of popularity to seem relevant.
Yeah, as well as possibly, you know, use it to her advantage. But this could mean that she's a little shifty. You know what I mean? Like, okay. if the Senate goes one way, she'll probably jump out on this. If Senate goes the other way, you know what I mean? Possibly. I can't really ignore the epic 27 that you've laid down here. So it does occur to you that she might be reading the room and reading other senators as much as yourself to see what, you know, which kind of like pre-calculating the vote. If 65%, you know, everyone's glad anything in the room where it happens, and I might as well throw in with them, that kind of thing, right? A lot of her statements are non-committal. And if anything, provoke statements from the people around her. So for you to go at her or like join in this conversation, again, we're getting into this lockdown of like, no, really, what do you think? No, what do you think? You know, kind of thing.
So I will definitely try to play on that and say, you know, given this whole primogenita thing, if Princess Eutropia gains power, I see some of the aristocratic ladies such as herself perhaps skyrocketing into positions of authority or more vocal positions of authority, you know, trying to play on her ego.
Yeah. Okay. Now you could bully her into this. You could diplomatize, like, you know, let's talk this out to this. But there's also some open skills. If you sort of showing her the worth or telling her the value of something falls into diplomacy, but, you could play upon someone's greed or play upon someone, like imagine the lands you own, right? It's almost like an appraisal. Like, if you can talk about the worth of an actual item, this mansion, this tapestry, and your knowledge about it, and bring that into a conversation, you can make an appraise check as opposed to just diplomacy, which is why that, you know, that type of thing. I know you guys are always talking about having a very tight skill set, but there are some open skills that can, you know, that can influence bluffing. Obviously, bullshitting is always out there, intimidating. Now, I know diplomacy is your thing. However, you're going it alone. From a couple episodes, I know, pretty sure you got like a check down, and you're in the middle of this, and you want to try with the diplomacy angle again.
Yes, please.
Okay. And go ahead. But just before we get the results of that roll, because I'm counting time here, Sir Winston rides up on his service dog. Right? And, I believe you were, what were you doing? You were looking for Lothied? Were you looking for
a message? Looking for Junior Senator Dow. He's the last missive I need to deliver.
Right.
So yeah, so I have to trot on up up onto Gildervarth's right.
Okay.
He's in a crowd of people with the lady and all.
Yeah.
Of her
fans. Oh yeah.
Yep. So I'll kind of push my way past some of the sycophants till I'm at the.
Excuse me, important missive.
Yes.
Slapping buttocks and getting the wolf to snip heels. Let me in.
My lord Samish. Yes. Terribly sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
Good. Who is this lovely lady?
Bowing low.
Oh. I was about to give Samish a penalty for, like, he's like mid-diplomacy speech and then it gets interrupted. He's just looking, you know, like looking at you. And you're like, oh, you know. Would you like to aid another? You literally have interrupted his flow. Before I have him read off this number, or we're going to hover between penalty and bonus. So,
I'll aid.
Okay. Maybe, can I have a perception check to see if you caught any of what he was in the middle of, you know, diplomatizing or going?
Sure. Perception of 20?
Yeah, like blue sylph manservants are all the rage, right? And then you come walking in, you hear that, you're like, ah, Fafal, your blue manservant is right over there with, and everyone looks and it's like, oh, there, you know, this is would be an aid. Or you could totally bugger it. Sir Winston, with a 20, giving Samish giving Samish his little plus 2. Now, don't you have a plus 3?
Actually, no. It turns it into a plus 4. Anytime I aid another, I have the helpful trait.
Oh, so
instead of being plus 2, it's plus 4.
Extra helpful.
Extra helpful, yes.
My lord, you never told me you had such graceful ladies in your company.
So he comes in. You're in the middle of it. You're about to crack your roll here. We're about to reveal. And the wind changes. He just comes in and rude, blah, 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 blah. I come in this big presentation. Like, how do you dare you interrupt? And he just reads the situation, lays right into it, says his little bit, and slaps down a plus 4 at you, turning your what into what?
Turning my 20 in diplomacy into a 24.
Ah, so close, you know. Because everything goes up in fives, right? 5, 10, 15, 20,
25.
Spend a force point. Well, here's something. Superfan Ashley Pasquello, former patron, had the plus 1 to a party. Remember I was talking about you guys using those?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Frank.
Place to use that.
Yeah. Critical success.
I would totally use that for a critical success.
Yeah, really. Eh? Another, there's so many checks. 1, 2, 3, 20. You know, you have to get so many successful checks to formally influence someone. I'm going to say that Winston, you know, helps you slam that one.
Okay.
And well into, now, it doesn't give you an extra check. Okay. But I will say that as long as Winston stays with you, I will give you another plus 2 automatically to your next roll because of the, you know what I mean? You can only make that impression once. So instead of being cheesy, having sitting there going, and I ate, plus four, I'll just, you know, whether he stays or goes, though, I'll give you a plus 2 to carry over.
All right.
Well, I'll stick around until at the very least the conversation's done because I don't want to,
I
read the room, walked in.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to hold you to this, Matt. Last game, you were in, you got an answer, you talked to him very briefly, and you bailed.
Yep.
So, holding that time, he doesn't stick around to give you that, I like that plus 4, come back. But he really helped you slam dunk this. You burn your Pasquello point. We should make that a thing. Shout out to
Pasquello.
Pasquello point. And
Pasquarello.
And, yeah, here you are doing well again.
doing
with,
well.
With the odor of, you know, wet wolf dung lingering in the air and everyone holding their fannings, but they're all looking at you like, oh, such an interesting manservant, fellow knight, you know, type of thing. And now,
such interesting company you keep.
Yeah, exactly. So with the Countess paying you a direct compliment, suddenly the entourage seems much more interested. Such interesting people. Such more interested in what Varth has to say.
Oops.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Fuffall. When last we left you, I got to play you. Did a pretty terrible job, I might add. Here, left you here to pick up the pieces. You had tried so desperately to make an impression first out of the gate with the Lady of the Order of the Star, and she was focused on the cleric and had left your company. And as fate would have it, several rooms away, she appeared in the doorway, scanning for something. I had you move towards her, gave her every chance to bail, hinted strongly that she should, but she stayed. She played. She got talking to you. She asked you for favor, and you ran off and successfully accomplished the task. Found Zimbari, brought them back together, and they had moved on to a light supper, as being, you know, trays are coming out and it's time to, you know, that kind of thing. And they moved to the main Senate area. Food means Winston, but you came here, you were looking for Maxillar. He's not in the arcade. That's where the last place he was. You came through the petting zoo. That leaves you back upstairs, the gallery, the kitchen. Every other room you kind of just breeze through.
Yeah.
Unless he's doubling around, you know, which is possible. Did you want to continue your search?
So kind of going, because I know Pytherius is, I mean, he's a general, he's very much high up. He wouldn't be in the kitchens.
No,
I doubt he'd be in the gallery, because that's kind of where we have, like, the entertainment for, you know, the kids and the whatnot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and it's very much not like that. He is either going to be influencing people or handling official business, which means he's going to be down on the floor. I didn't see him right. In the Senate or like the actual, like, the hall.
You came from the archive.
Yeah.
One pass through the Senate, didn't see him, but you didn't really explore there. You kind of came across the top through the petting zoo into the arcade. You could come back along the bottom of the petting zoo if you wanted. Because the problem is the Emperor's Hall is blocked off by Elfengard on both sides. So unless he's hiding in there, you kind of take the detour of construction, as it were. One leads you to kitchen, gallery, one leads you back, but you could deke around and get right into the Senate floor. Now, this is where Zimbari and Julie are going. If you want to drift with the lady a little bit more, that's fine, but...
I think I've taken my shot.
Yeah. Yeah, you made a good impression. She's happy with you, right? You're going to get out while it's good.
Don't want to pressure too much too quickly. Okay. You know,
always leave them wanting more type of deal.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
But it is a smart idea to go double check the main area. So I'll swing back through the bottom part of the petting zoo. You know, just quick glance for people.
Mm-hmm.
Keep an eye out for the rest of the party, and if I don't see anyone, continue on.
Okay, awesome. You know, what I'm gonna try and pull off here while we're chatting is I realize that I don't have a a header. For this. No, I don't see it there. Okay. I thought we could slap up a title, you know, but I must have it must be buried, so I'll worry about it another time. But you are listening to and watching Dice Before Dishonor. You know, we're testing a new overlay. Thank you for being so patient. Now, we're recording this live. So we are currently streaming this on a Sunday afternoon, recording the video to put up on YouTube later, and recording the podcast aspect, which we're leaning towards more of a light editing as opposed to, like, you know, heavy polish and stuff, just to get things done, get things up, because we've been waylaid with work and the episodes are coming fewer and fewer and further apart. So to move things along, Fafal's on the move and getting back to Winston had you had left Varth and then you had gone off and done, you know, we got you into the crab cakes. You'd gone back to the guard. Hey, little fella! And gave him a crab cake. This is a crime scene! You know, that guy. What was his name? Ebeth? This is an NPC that I pulled out of our Arklord Envy beta second edition playtest, if you hadn't caught the voice. The Gomer Pyle, you know. Look at this! Now he's here. A couple years later, gets around. Or pre-Arklord's Envy. Anyway. So I'll go back to Varth. We still, you know, trying to catch Frank up in time here. Okay, chatting away, this and that, you know, that type of thing. Again, any lean to the political, you know, she kind of hits you head on. You know, well, what do you think? Well, the rest of you think that type of thing. You know, she's really not giving on that particular subject as of yet. I think you got to do some more of your famous diplomacy, as it were. But again, changing up some of the skills. Did you want to try with something else or a different approach? Or, like I said, go get, you've got a little bit of aid going from Matt there. It's good.
Let's see here. Let's see what's kind of what sits in my wheelhouse.
Hmm.
Let's see. I would like to. So I get the sense that she's trying to lead me, but do I get? Is there any way that I can get a tell as to what her true motivations are, like sense motive? So what does she really want to hear? And I will totally feed into that to try to steer her a certain direction.
Oh, okay. She's interested in where you stand, like where you personally stand on the primogeniture vote. So if you think that, like, saying, yes, this is a good thing, because that's what Lothied wants, and try and sway her that way, then sure.
Yeah, so that's the route I'll take. I mean,
okay, well, what about intimidate? Policy, like, right? Like, instead of, like, just trying to talk her into it, what about, like, are you going to try, like, a strong approach? Like, I, you know, look, some flag waving? We must do this, and, you know.
Sure, I can try that.
If you want.
Hmm.
Because even though the social combat system, like, they talk about re-diplomancing and, like, again, like, stacking it, it kind of dwindles, or they say, oh, we're immune, you know.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll try intimidation, but not directly towards her, just trying to set up the like an environment that would not be conducive to her family. Like, you know, if primogeniture goes through, those that sign early on will be in most advantageous positions. But those who don't, that fight the power, they could see themselves in a woeful scenario, you know, and just try to totally paint this kind of darker picture for her family fortunes as a kind of an indirect kind of threat if she goes a certain direction.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, heavily implied. Like, yeah, I gotcha. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, okay, intimidate so, does run off of charisma, you know.
Oh, my God. I got a 30.
What?
So, all right. So let's have it. Make it good. Like, obviously, it's going to win. Like, you know, and the rest of you, too. You know, what do you got?
For those who side with the princess when she ascends to power, they'll see themselves in fortunate events. I guarantee this. But those that don't may find themselves allied with rebels that could tear this country apart and would see their fortunes ruined. You know, kind of doing the indirect three-finger point, ruined.
I don't understand, Lord Voth. The imperialists, the traditionalists, they're siding with one end of the Senate, saying that, you know, the man is the thing. It's the usurper. Utropia has been painted until now as light of the, you know, like trying to change the tradition. She leans in.
But
she does lean in at this point and say, however, every ounce of influence that a lady such as myself, even as a countess, is watered down by a man's need to be dominant. And I must say, Lord Voth, I find you rather dominating. I think I like it. Your 30 is working far too well on me.
Far too well.
Yeah. Oh my. Yeah, so, but without getting into like that old trope. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So.
You're saying, you know, tapping you. like she's knighting you on either shoulder and this, you know, like poking you with her fan, but like in a strokey, nicey way. Anyway, but it's not a flirt. Let's go behind the scene. It's a, can I have a sense motive?
Oh, absolutely. Let's see here. Let me find it one more time. I've scrolled so many times on my little quick sheet here. Sense motive. That'd be a 14.
Outwardly, she's non-committal, but she's subtly signaling you that, you know, like, I agree, I'm on board.
Yep.
What time do you get off gala? You know, stuff like that.
No. Yeah, right on.
Yeah. Doing very well. Right on. So,
yeah, I mean, and with those decent roles, I mean, I will definitely try to turn her as a, you know, someone who would say to her friends, oh, yeah, we've got to jump on board this thing because we don't want to be ruined by association.
And here's the benefit. Because she is outwardly not doing that, what you're hoping for, and just subtly signaling you, you could report to Lothied after three successful checks, which you have just accomplished, that she's on the fence. Like, her lack of commitment to Eutropia's cause, even when you went from diplomacy to almost like bullying, right? She doesn't outwardly go, yes, I'm on board. You know, she's signaling you that she could be, or, you know, type of, like, give me the duplicity here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Isn't what you wanted. you wanted her to agree openly and then influence the group, where she is still on the fence or going, oh, I don't know, but quietly telling you what you want to know. Like, you remember how you're saying, I'm going to tell her what she wants to know. This sly old bird is showing you what you want to know subtly, but not openly, you know what I mean? So I think at this point, you really kind of click in that she is really waiting to see which way the wind blows. And really isn't, you know, has a pretty much lack of commitment to Eutropia's cause, surprisingly, as a powerful woman. But maybe she's just been in the game too long. Maybe this, you know, she just doesn't believe because she's seen so much, you know, dominance on the male side in Tal'Dorei that she just feels she knows better. You know, it's not going to happen. Anyway, however, knowing this will give you bonuses to influence other people. Because like you were saying, oh, this is how so-and-so feels about this. This is how so-and-so feels about that. You guys have yet to sort of garner enough markers where you can go, well, I was just talking to the Countess and she's on the fence. Or I was just talking, you know, that type of thing. We're assuming that this type of information, as you work your way around these targets, is involved in the diplomacy.
Okay.
And Gabriella is one that we're, you know, telling other people that she's on the fence or really has a lack of devotion for Eutropia's cause could rattle certain people into, like, it's kind of like a bonus for you.
Okay, yeah, I will definitely try to use that.
Now, you could drop this on anybody, and sometimes they don't just care, but, you know, certain ones will care enough you'll actually be getting a bonus. So remind me about that going, do I get my secret countess bonus? I'll work that in.
I will.
My secret countess bonus.
So once this kind of plays out,
you know,
conversations eventually turn to, you know, something else more mundane. Just for a moment, I'll, you know, casually step out and look for another target or one of my friends so I can kind of report success or, you know, the indifference of this one.
Lothied is right here. And besides that one time where she checked in, you know, you can give her the thumbs up. Hey, I think I got it, you know, or report to her right away. Or there might be something at the end. You know, you can also talk quietly into your, you know, your mic pin. Did you get that back? No, you actually picked up two.
I got one from Bartholomew.
Right, because he had to bail. So you had two, and then you gave one to, was it Fafal? And then Fafal stole one from Trant and gave it to Winston, who gave one to the wolf. So everybody that's on the floor is covered. Okay.
Yep.
Right. All right. Well, you're up in the gallery, which is good bird's eye view. So give me a perception of plus two.
Okay.
And just see if you're at that right moment in time where you might catch somebody, you know, traversing. Go, look at that. They all went down there. They're all going down there. 18. Yep. You catch Fafal, of all people, glomming with a small contingent of two people, the tall Azamar woman and the distinctly dressed Mwagi Expanse cleric of Adabar. They're a little tight little group. And they're just about to hit the Senate, and he kind of veers off. But you catch that triad of them, dinner, and they're going in, and he just kind of bids his, you know, catch you later, kind of, you know. You see some finger guns, maybe. You know, and, he veers off.
All right. Does he look like he's leaving with any kind of haste? I mean, is something pressing or is it just...
No, he just seems
kind of like
to be,
what I just did.
Yeah, he looks like he's on the lookout and on the wander. Yeah.
Okay.
And if he's got something better to do than schmooze the girl, probably means he's doing what you guys last left him to do. Fafal, you did tell Varth you went to look for Pytherius, yeah?
Probably.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you know what he was doing.
Okay.
Anyway, and he continues to roam. Now you can go down the stairs and intercept him because you can see where he's going and see if he's found him. Maybe he's looking for you and has found Pythagoras. So you don't know. So,
all right. So I'll try to head the same direction as he's going. I think I've kind of played the gallery out.
Yep.
And I'll head with Fafal in the direction he's going.
Okay. So he's banking around. You said no to the kitchens. Yeah. You wanted to kind of go into the Senate in the bottom. So Fafal's at a point where he could kind of enter the Senate or... swing back around to check out the archive type of thing. So where were you going there, Fafal? Did you want to go Senate or go double back to the archive?
Senate.
Okay. So you see them enter the main floor, but like I said, he doesn't go with them. He kind of drifts off. Can I have a perception from you both?
Sure.
Oh, sorry, from Fafal. Because, sorry, there is a bit of a time lapse where you get down to him. So Fafal, actually.
Give it a sec. Character sheets.
What is that, 11?
But it seems like Fantasy Grounds is working.
Said 5 plus 6, 11.
Okay.
Fantasy Grounds is awesome. Your computer's not working. Don't bite the fiends.
If only we had an engineer in the room.
If only we had somebody that... Oh. 11. You spot... everyone's kind of like lined up to like the dinner buffet.
Right.
But this is a good thing. Instead of like being smattered, there is sort of a, there's still people in little groups, but there's a main part of the senators that are all like gotten in the buffet line, which opens the room up, dropping the DC specifically. And it's not hard at all, before Varth will have you catch up in a moment here, to see Leon talking with one of our targets. He was in the busy trying to schmooze Baron Nicholas Okra a couple episodes ago, and we'll get back to that. When one of the Alfen Guard, now these tall Viking-looking buggers are part of the Vinmark family, and the Vinmark family had been, well, why are we here? It's the great day of exaltation, right? Where, besides the major Senate vote, one of the commoners will be risen up to the rank of gentry and become one of the quote-unquote bearded, as they call it in Tal'Dorei, because, you know, it's fashionable and, you know, it's the bearded thing to do, to be some facial hair that the gentry are allowed to grow and commoners just shave, and it's bad form or practically illegal some places to pose as a higher station. The farmer has a big beard. But there's tells. I mean, there's your Grizzly Adam beard, and then your finely waxed, trimmed, you know, all these things we got going on with Lord Varth kind of beard. Anyway, having you over there, Vinmark, at, you know, 3 o'clock, these are one of the actual personal guard that Grand Prince Stavian III brought with him. Remember, they kind of walled off, and he red carpet disappeared into the Emperor's arcade bit and disappeared, and they just kind of like got a man wall going, okay? Right. He doesn't look like one of the rank and file bodyguards. He looks like he could serve because he's got like the proverbial Alfen / Tilidian, you know, type of thing. But there's something a little different about this guy. Anyway, he comes into the room, and just as you're looking around, you kind of see him look past you, not care, spot Leon and go right to him, and doesn't even politely interrupt the young lord and Baron Okra. He comes up and just stands and like clicks heel kind of thing, like, I am here, like I am reporting, right? Staring at the two of them, forcing Baron and the young lord to turn, Baron outranking our Leon, saying, yes, what is it? Kind of, you know, you can see the mouthing, like he turns, what's going on? Pointing at Leon. Leon looks surprised, turns, bows in some kind of like quick apology to the Baron, and immediately goes with the Alfen warrior. The Alfen warrior does not take him back in line, does not take him to the Emperor. He actually takes him out an opposite exit of the main Senate floor and walks him, and they are leaving briskly. What do you do?
My.
Yeah, what do you do? Very interesting. And at that moment, while you're deciding, you know, they're getting paces towards the door. Varth, you come down, same scene, you spot Fafal out in the middle, kind of gawking silently. Varth, you see Fafal.
Step up to Fafal, kind of hand on the shoulder. So, the old bird upstairs seems pretty cagey to cast her alliance in any direction. How are you faring down here on the floor?
Well, I have been having extra trouble locating Pytherius. He's more slippery than I first expected. But it seems as if, well, as we can see, Leon is being called away by an orphan guard, part of his family, perhaps. Odd.
I'll pause you there. Winston.
Yes.
Traipsing around, that kind of thing, right? They leave the Senate, and in one of the main corridors, you're like en route or whatever, you literally see Leon. They're kind of like heading, not directly at you, but you can, you know, get easily intercept with Barclay. They're, you know, quickly kind of getting out of the main Senate area and heading off somewhere. You see Leon and this Vinmark Alfen. Neither look happy.
Well, I'll take note of it.
Okay.
And just maybe, you know, go over the communication on the pin and just say to the party,
does anybody know where Leon's going? He seems to be leaving.
No, Leon can hear you. He has a pin.
Sure.
You know, you could say, Leon, where are you going? Or does anyone know? I'm right here. Just like talking about him. I'm on the comm, guys. Sorry. But, can I have a knowledge nobility?
Sure. That's a rough
Fafal as well, actually.
17, though.
Mm-hmm.
25.
Yeah, 25. He actually, that particular Alfen is like a medium to high ranking Alfen. He's in the Vinmark family. You would put him in the top five under the mayor of the town of like Lord Vinmark himself. That, you know, he's one of the close cousins kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Dude's in the top five. With a 25, I can give you the name, and it's sorry, I got to do some some quick digging. It's like Bryl Undersoot. Sorry. I had it prepped and I clicked something closed. And anyway, you do know the man's name. I'll give you this. Well, you know.
Okay.
And like, it's not dun 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 when you hear the name, because no one will know it. But you do know he's a high ranking Vinmark. And he is in the personal guard, and he would be privy to, you know, like, he probably knows what's going on and why the king is, you know, isolated himself. This guy would know if Pytherius is in there currently. And this guy, probably whatever the mayor tells him or whatever the king tells him, you know, that kind of thing. He'd be one of those people in the room that would have the honor as an officer, like, yes, and we're going to execute this plan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
This is a guy that would be allowed to stand in a war room as the least ranking or one of the least ranking people, right? Where his superior would be at the table. He'd be standing in the room, but not at the table. But then, you know, it would be like anything Grand Prince wanted the Vinmark Lord to do. He would be like, yes, at once. But instead of running off like you know, some kind of servant, he would turn to, like, this guy and go, make it happen, because you command the men. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
You get the picture I'm painting here? Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Semi-high importance, but not, like, tippy-top.
Like I said, well, he's up there, you know, top five. Anyway, so back to Sir Winston.
Yes.
Sir Winston on the comp. So did you want to address Leon, or you want to address the whole party?
No, I'll address the whole party.
Okay.
Just in case he can't talk, because he looks like he's tied up with somebody important.
Yeah. Under his breath, right?
So
I'll just say I'm sure if Leon needs help, he'll call for it. Perhaps he stuck his finger in the wrong honeypot.
Hmm.
He's such a slut.
No, all right. So and then I'll continue to track down Junior Senator Dow to drop my last missive.
Okay. Leon does come over the comm. Hearing what you guys, and maybe trying to drop a hint, it seems like he's asking the Vinmark superior a question, right?
Yeah.
Come with me. That's all he needs. And he's a samurai. He would take the shit, like, very seriously and follow him silently. So for him to break with honor protocol to, you know, drop some kind of hint to inform you guys is really something. He is risking his own sort of family. You know what I mean? So I'm going to go with percentage. I'm going to say this is very unlikely. And I would only give him like a 20% chance of saying anything. He doesn't suspect anything. Yeah, you guys, come with me. Come with, you know what I mean? One. Double zeros on the 10 and a one. Let's say perhaps you guys might suspect him of sense motive.
Sense of the motive of a 16.
8. Natural 1 on the dice.
Okay.
And I got a 23.
This works well. Lord Varth. Is a lord like Leon, even though he's adopted lord, and knows how this, you know, how a young lord would think. Next, Winston, you know him personally. Fafal doesn't know Leon very well. So what I said just stands. It is unlikely for him to break character unless he thought it was important, or what's even more likely, he suspects something. Something's wrong. Why are they pulling me off the floor? I have no obligation to my lord to, you know what I mean? Why are they just suddenly like, oh, do they see me here and they don't want me here? Did the so-and-so I ordered come early, and I'm, you know what I mean? Like, he gets an idea that, like, something is up. He's supposed to be here. Of course, as a samurai, he would tell his lord or his family his movements, or, you know, unless he has free reign, you know what I'm saying? Whatever obligation he has to the Vinmark family, they've just kind of ignored him. This is the first time any of you in weeks, months, since you've met him and were on the road and came back. Now, you were on the road, away from his family. You came back at the end of season zero. You all got knighted, and he went, nope. Sorry, Eutropia. Your dad is my shogun, and he and my lord is the mayor, is, you know, top elevated a couple years ago, Vinmark. You don't have the power to knight me, and it's redundant. I'm already samurai. You know what I mean? It's like, you're a samurai, but now you're a samurai with us. And it's like, I don't need a double title. I believe this would piss people off. So he walked, was the assumption. So now he's walking out. Vinmark is leading him, and he quietly says on the comm, asking him a question. A statement. Is my lord close by, or do I need to gain my mount? That's all he says. But it tells you what?
Yep, tells us that he's going to meet his majordomo.
Yeah, his the top of the Vinmark clan.
His liege.
Yeah. His liege is the other way, right? Bottled up in that room. Right, his lord, because that's like shogun, the emperor, you know, that kind of thing. He sees the crown prince like an emperor. He sees, you know, his lord Vinmark, and all the elfins that are under him, like, you know, like Shogun or like the, you know, the local lord. So three pieces of information are dropped. First, you know, he's not going, this is not to do, or, you know, not going towards the king. It's his own personal Vinmark lord that summoned him. Second, he does not currently know his lord's location, or he's trying to hint that it's like, oh, is he just right outside having a smoke? Mm-hmm. You know, are we going far? Do I need my car? I mean, my horse, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Pretty clever considering, although this will get a diversive snort, like shut up and just follow me from, you know, from a higher ranking family member. They are a pertinent question. You know, he won't get shit for asking. He'll just get shit for, like, you know, they don't treat him very well. But you know he's leaving.
Well, it seems to me that he's not in any immediate peril.
No.
He's going to meet somebody he's familiar with, and if he needs help, he's going to call for it. I mean, exactly. That's my takeaway.
The key, though, here is, it's not relevant to you now, but it will come relevant later. He's leaving the building like Bartholomew did. First, Bartholomew gets called away by family. Now Leon's getting called away by family. That's what's got Varth worried with these sense motives. Fafal, this is Winston, this is unusual. Well, we had part, you know, like, sure, we had a secret mission with Lothied, and, you know, but we kind of got permission to to be here. We're at the party of the year. It would benefit Staying our families off. To keep us here, not pull us out of here, unless they thought we would do harm to the reputation. Well, he is an adopted hostage mom Tai Shan dude. You know, not exactly Vinmark pride and joy. Well, he is the half-orc recently scandaled risen to knighthood that you guys like, but society isn't doing very well with Bartholomew being a militant Dunaldaggan family. Ruffled, I mean, Pythariously, openly just shunned him. Now they're getting pulled, not just off the floor, they're getting, like, politely, officially yanked out of the building. What's up with that?
I'm getting the feeling like we need to gather our forces.
Okay.
It's going down, so... And that's what I'll say through our intercom, that we all need to meet up on the Senate floor and share what intel we have and go from there.
Okay.
Sure, sure. Like,
now, since I kind of long-windedly walked you guys through this, we'll say that you do. And what I've painted is the conversation with the three men.
Okay.
But that does leave the rest of the evening. A couple marks left to schmooze and, you know, the whatever proverbial, you know, that's going to happen next. So I put it to you, gentlemen. What do you do next?
Schmooze alike.
Okay.
Schmooze alike.
Do you want to see how far he got with Okra?
Of course.
Hi. Look, we're here to tag in where Leon left off. How was he doing? Did he piss you off? Isn't he funny? Or just approach him raw like, we don't know the guy.
Well, no. I think we're going to...
I'm going to go back to Jay. I'm going to go back to Jay, and he will have a shot to influence him. And if he succeeds, you guys could benefit and tag in by mentioning him. If he fails... it's not going to do any favors to mention him. This is the fun part. You see what I'm saying? So you guys have the choice to acknowledge Leon as you approach Okra or not. It could benefit you, or it's not at par. It's benefit, or I'm actually may, you know, imply some kind of penalty or something with you guys. Oh, there's more of you. You know, because Leon's such the charmer.
He is.
So what do you guys want to do?
Is?
Going to stand by your man or, you know?
You know?
Stand by your man.
I think your companions aren't always convenient, but they are always your companions. So,
oh, very nice. Nicely put. Okay. Also, Baron Okra might be able to convey the conversation that you missed, Fafal.
Oh, true.
What did the Vinmark want? You know?
Who does number two work for?
Exactly. Right. This handsome bear of a man stands a head taller than the crowd, and while starting to show his age with flecks of white and black in his beard, he does seem to retain a youthful smile and gentle eyes. He is knowledge nobility, gentlemen.
Alrighty.
I know nothing.
All around.
9. Woohoo!
21.
12.
Fafal, he's a celebrity in the tournament circuit. He's known to be a stern leader, but kind. And he's considered one of Taldor's chief defenders of law and order. Not a military man, but he does believe in the system.
Gung, gung.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. A man of Abadar.
Something like that, yeah.
Not very holy, but he's very much into the law, the order.
The state. You know, he's patriotic, that kind of thing. However,
yeah.
But a celebrity in the tournament circuit, as in like jousting and, you know, like whatever they got going, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I know him personally?
No, not with your crappy 9. Go away. I'm talking to Fafal. Now, Fafal could tell you.
But
this.
I'm an athletic champion from the tournament.
Not the tournament, in the tournament circuit. So I believe what they're talking about out of the gate is like the Olympics, which has you in it.
Right.
But you were so focused on the doggy stuff, whatever he's into, axe throwing or what, you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, yeah. Even dropping the DC to like, for you personally, down to like 10 because you're in the tournament and everybody else is 15. It's just kind of like, nah, I know this guy. Anyway, Fafal, you want to spell it out a la roleplay for them?
Well, that's Baron O'Kara, or O'Kara. I'm not actually sure on the pronunciation, but he's well known in the tournament circuit, jousting and whatnot. He's a very athletic man. I'm getting a bit older, but he's very much into the law and order of Tal'Dor, the ways of Abadar, not necessarily the harsh preachings of it, but a man of Tal'Dor, a true patriot, from what I've remembered and what I've heard.
Also got some secret message, secret okay. note passing for, I just realized that I can actually use this chat to secretly, not the Fantasy Grounds chat, but the actual Zoom call that we're in to, you know, send with a successful knowledge nobility breaking a DC. There's a little bit of extra information for you there, Fall, that you can capitalize. I'm not saying you have to share it, but there is a little something extra that you know about or heard about the man.
So one interesting tidbit is due to him being so into law and order and a defender of such, defender to traditions, he is torn on the issue of primogeniture. He's concerned about the impact of her success, of Eutropia's successful bid to end primogeniture. He really believes strongly in tradition and is concerned that her actions will endanger the stability of Tal'Dan law.
So this is the kind of thing where, if I may explain, doing the right thing and making something legal is awesome. But as a man of law, he realizes that the riots that will ensue for 3 months is a big order for police and everything. And he's concerned about safety of citizenry on top of like, yeah, it's the right thing to do, but it's a steep hill that we got to climb to get there because of how a nation will react. I think, I mean, it sounds like he's a good guy,
yeah.
But so, you know, he's even concerned about like the fallout, you know, this is.
Yeah. So you got to jump in and try to play that. Say, I understand that the sudden shift in political dynamics can create upheaval, but the more of the lordship that follows suit means a smoother transition and security for the nation. Don't you agree?
So he's coaching you, Fafal. You've given the tidbit. Now, Lord, as opposed to like the dating thing that happened earlier, as you guys walk up on Okra and you're telling him what you know, Varth instantly turns this into like, and this is how you would use this in a social setting here.
Right, right. No, I completely agree.
Okay.
I also believe it's the fact that he is concerned with the changing of laws. And yes, definitely the possible uprisings and, you know, the riots ensuing, of course, would be is a major concern. But I do believe it's just the general, he is steeped in kind of the old ways. And so changing this tradition in and of itself, I believe, bring some of that doubt to him. So that is also something we should address. But of course, that is just my humble opinion. So
Winston, first on the scene with the faster wolf, you know, we've got Leon is no longer El Presidente. Get rid of him. And we've got, where are we here? Over on one side, we've got people schmoozing, and we come down here where we've got good old bum, 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 bum. Baron Okra near the middle of the floor. There was one more thing, Fafal. It's a bit of a side note. Like I said, your DC with your perception wasn't so great. Remember I said I opened up the floor?
Yeah.
Okay. Now that you're approaching the middle of the floor where Leon was, there is a freckled-faced, red-haired young man who seems uncomfortable in a courtier's outfit, kind of wistfully looking towards Leon like, oh, you're leaving? Kind of thing, and just kind of wide-eyed at everybody and just smiling and nodding at people that are like, he doesn't move around to like go talk to someone, but he acknowledges anybody that looks his way.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll point it out to my lord, who is that? Do you know?
Is this the soon to be elevated to nobility fellow?
This would be knowledge local.
Okay. Let me find it.
I'm not certain, but I think Leon said, I found Kaibo and I'm talking to O'Kara. And he had talked to Kaibo, but, you know, he's not one to be on the mic so much.
Okay.
I got a 10 knowledge local.
And I got an 8. I've never seen that guy in my life.
Surely not. Unless you're under a rock, everybody knows about the Tapestry Weaver, but, you know, not so much. How about you, Winston? He's not far off of O'Kara.
13.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, if anyone is just like, it's nobility day, you win. You know, this guy fits the profile. But what you've heard of the guy that's coming up, Tapestry Weaver Kaibo, you're not sure that's him. Yeah, like I said, you guys have heard a rumor, but you can't go, that's obviously so-and-so. Not with these crap rules. Anyway.
Making a beeline to Okra, I think is what we're doing.
Yep, get in there.
So I approach first.
Mm-hmm.
Baron Okra, my name is Sir Winston of the Paw. Tales of your achievements in the circuit have reached me, and I just have to say, it's an honor to even be in the same room with one such as yourself.
Bowing low.
Okay. Is it now? Huh.
Indeed, my liege. I myself have earned a little renown during the local tournaments here, but your name, it echoes on the lips of any of the bystanders.
Can I just tell you, never heard of this guy?
No, but I heard.
Oh, right. Yeah, but you run off to get here first. That's a slow something. Okay. And Barkley's pulling me out of range. And you get here first. Anyway, that's fine. Wait till last second. Barkley, charge. Right.
Well, you would have heard about the tournament stuff because I started off with that. And then
I was like, tournament. Good. There's
I'm just having a go at him. Sorry. Natural one. Never heard of you. Sorry, Antonio, in the tournament. That's nice. So. Anyway, you're used to this. Most people give you the you're a knight. Are you? Well, yeah, you're a halfling. Where's my crab cake, right? Oh, you're riding around a wolf. Your service, your messenger. All this is believable, and you're like, I'm Sir So and So. I'm here to blow smoke up your butt. Blah blah blah. I didn't seem to be interested in that either. Anyway, he's not so rude as like shun you or turn you away, but you've already hit a wall with this. Like he's like, uh huh. You know, like, that's nice.
Good and as my companions approach, I will make introductions.
Oh, okay.
You know, this is
my lord, Samish Gildavarth, and his manservant, Fafal.
Ah, Lord Varth, is it? I don't believe I've had the pleasure. And a big, meaty fist come out, and he looks to shake your hand in a warrior fashion, as opposed to like, because I'm a baron and you're a lord. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He goes for the man-to-man approach, which is good. This he's kind of... Might not treat you like a peer, but out of the gate, this is very promising.
All right, I'll clasp his hand warmly. Okay.
So while shaking your hand, he looks over at Fafal and he says, I actually have the distinct pleasure of meeting your manservant. I believe it was Fallen Fallacy. What was your name, lad? She had...
Fafal, my dear Baron.
Ah, right. Lady Garlia Marilla. One of the parties previous past, the young lad was here telling us his knowledge of alchemy, and I found it actually quite intriguing, not to mention he spiced up my drink a little bit, and I've got to say I don't suppose you could replicate that experience here? Turn warmly, you know, just kind of like, I'm not going to let your lord go unless you get me one of those awesome Mai Tais.
Well, of course. It has been a while. Of course, the lady has kept me very busy, so there's been a lot on my plate, a lot on my mind. But, of course, I believe I remember exactly what I did. Give me a moment.
Excellent. And, my lord, you must try. Obviously, you must be familiar with the young lad's concoctions, but I gotta say, I am a fan. And we'll see you next time over drinks. On dice before dishonor.
No.
Let's get sloshed. Good night, everyone.
Clink.